You're listening to Banal Leakage, Episode 5, 30 Years Ago. Welcome back, Episode 5. Last day of January. Well, that was last night. It's Saturday morning when I'm recording this. January went by pretty quick. Gosh, this last year has gone by really quick. I turned 50 last year, which means I was 20 during the first half of 1984. Oh my God, 30 years ago. Lots happened in 30 years. Technology sure has changed. 30 years ago, cell phones weighed 4 pounds. The internet was around kinda up at the University of Utah as an experimental thing. So, yeah. But this episode, I'm going to go over a couple memorial things as far as things that I remember from 30 years ago, or maybe a little bit before. So let's jump into the news. Motley Crue is calling it quits after 33 years together. So yeah, a bit longer than 30 years ago. Their first album came out in 1981, Too Fast for Love. I had that album. I didn't have the original copy, but I had the one that after they signed to Elektra Records, where they changed the cover, re-recorded some of the songs, remixed some of them. So I've been a fan since the very beginning, and now they're calling it quits. They signed a legal document, a letter of cessation, or touring cessation, meaning that none of the members of the band can tour as Motley Crue. So as the original members of the band, they are disbanding, and none of them can use Motley Crue or tour under Motley Crue. So for example, Nikki Sixx and Mick Mars can't go out and with a new lead singer and a new drummer and call themselves Motley Crue. Now, granted, they did that at one point when they had a lead singer of John Corabi and when they had a separate drummer, Randy Castillo. So, you know, they did before, but they, you know, they got back together. Vince Neil came back to the band. Tommy Lee came back to the band. And now they're doing what is called a final tour. Not a farewell tour. This is kind of a slap in the face to bands that have done farewell tours, numerous farewell tours. I don't think they didn't name any names, but it's obvious that their sleight of hand and their slams were against bands like Kiss, who have done a decade worth of farewell tours with, you know, not the original members. So I really think this, they might actually have something here. They could go out on top and really, really just show other bands, hey, you know what? You're not doing it right. You need, if you're going to really give it up and not keep playing forever and come out, you know, they don't want to be in rockers and wheelchairs being wheeled out on stage and, you know, performing Kickstart My Heart, you know, which if you think about it, that could be a medical metaphor. So I really think that this is something that's really going to make it a impact for other bands that plan to do quote-unquote farewell tours. I have tickets to their show here in Utah on August 1st, and I will be rocking it out for their final tour. The Los Angeles Raiders beat the Washington Redskins 38-9 in Super Bowl 18. Yes, that was 30 years ago on January 22nd. With Super Bowl 48 approaching this weekend, tomorrow, yeah, I had to kind of go back to one of the Super Bowls that I was really happy for. That blowout was really cool for me because I'm a Raiders fan and have been since 1982 when the team moved from Oakland to Los Angeles. I've been to a few games at the L.A. Coliseum when they played there in the 80s, and the team did move back in the 90s back to Oakland, but, you know, it was nice. It was really cool to have a local team when I lived in California, and I've been a proud Raiders fan, well, some seasons, like this last season, you know, 4-12 record is not something to be proud of, but, you know, I've got to stand by my team, and They haven't really done much since January of 2003 when they went back to the Super Bowl for Super Bowl 37, which they lost to the Tampa Bay Bucks. But, you know, someday they will be back, and I will be there cheering them on. McIntosh turns 30. On January 24th, 1984, McIntosh was revealed to the world. 2 days previous, referring back to that Raiders Super Bowl game on January 22nd, they ran the only ad for McIntosh, which was a take on George Orwell's 1984. The Lemmings, which were tongue-in-cheek referred to as IBM PC users, the embrace of Macintosh being different, a graphical user interface, made such an impact. I became a Macintosh owner the year after in 1985 with the Fat Mac, which was a 512K model. The original was 128K, and I have embraced the platform ever since. I've been pretty much a Mac user for my personal use since then, with little periods here and there being using Windows as my main system. But I cannot say enough greatness about how a platform like this, 30 years later, is stronger than ever. I mean, you know, Mac sales still don't hold a candle to Windows, but at the same time, it's a robust platform. It's stable. A lot of people enjoy using a Macintosh over the Windows machines. In 2005, I became an owner of a Mac Mini G4. My current Mac today is a late 2008 MacBook Pro 15-inch. And, gosh, it's going on 5 years old almost that I've had this, and it's just still going as strong. I'm recording this very podcast on it right now. So I embrace this platform, and I look forward to owning future Macintoshes. Mac Pro, yes. And it's time for this week's rant. Coming into work sick? Please don't. Just stay home. Get better. Don't come into work and infect everyone. It's ridiculous. People with the flus, coming in coughing, sneezing all over the place. You know, if you feel guilty like you're supposed to come into work, just please don't. If you're wanting to save your sick days for fun days, don't do that either. The reason why companies give you sick time is for that very reason. When you're sick, you know, some have, you know, categorized it as personal. I think a lot of the reason why people come in to work sick is it's a management mentality. You know, management really wants people to show up. And a lot of times they don't give a shit whether people are sick or not. I mean, they do kind of care, but, you know, from a point of, you know, they would much rather people show up than be short people. But, you know, as things have shown, you know, I mean, it's wintertime. Flus happen, sicknesses, colds, everything. And when you're indoors most of the time, viruses tend to propagate and infect others. You know, they doesn't have a chance to go outside. You know, you don't have, it's not like, you know, everyone's able to open the windows during wintertime, you know, with extreme cold and snow and everything. So you tend to infect people quicker. So just don't. When you're sick, if you really feel sick and you don't feel like you can perform properly, stay home. I mean, and in this day and age with telecommuting, you can work from home too if you feel like, you know, working, but you don't want to infect the entire office. So just be responsible and don't infect others. This week's shameless plug, Fitbit. I am the owner of a Fitbit One now. I have been an owner of a Fitbit Ultra, which was their kind of their original device. I had used it for a while, and it stopped working. It stopped holding a charge. It stopped syncing. And so I called support on this, and they kind of walked me through and then found out that my device was out of warranty, which they only cover for 1 year. But they came back with an offer of 50% off the Fitbit One price, which is $100. So for $50, I jumped at the chance, and I love this device. I've only had it for a week, I've been using it to track my sleep, my steps, how stairwells, like how many floors I walk up, which I do take stairwell to work, not the elevator. I really am trying to be healthy. I kind of let myself go the last part of 2013, unrelated to me turning 50. Believe me, I don't see the relation here. And I'm just trying to get back into healthy. I give credit recently to Capgar, one of our listeners and a fellow blogger, who has embraced his Fitbit Zip. And he is anxious about his goals and his 10,000 a day step goals. So I'm not quite there. I've had a few days where I've had over 10,000 and over 15,000 steps. So it's nice, and I'm sure at one point I'll be averaging 10,000 steps a day. But for now, I'm just excited about this platform. And getting healthy, and this little device is just ultra small. I mean, it's as small as a stick of regular gum, pretty much. I mean, maybe a thickness of about 3 or 4 sticks of gum. So I had used the mobile track on my iPhone 5S for a little bit towards the end of last year, and that helped kind of get me into the mode of using Fitbit. Eventually, I'll start adding my water consumption and my food items that I eat to properly, track, calories and my base calories, what I burn, minus what kind of food I intake. So overall, I am really enjoying this. And if you've ever wanted to get fit, there's a ton of fitness trackers out there. Some I podcasted before. Mentioned in an episode, Jawbone, and I did talk about the Fitbit before. So I'm really liking this device, and I cannot praise it enough. Raise a hand! 1, 2, 3, 4, and now 5 episodes into this. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, remember, if you can't be specific, just be random.